Sam Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Kamala Harris heads to Raleigh today to deliver her first speech on the economy since she replaced President Biden on the Democratic ticket. CBS's Jared Hill says she'll talk about
the economic plan, including the first ever federal ban on price gouging, tax incentives for renters, and new housing construction.
Former President Donald Trump warns if Harris wins, Americans' finances will never recover. A Category 2 Hurricane Ernesto is expected to make landfall on Bermuda tomorrow. Odyssey meteorologist Craig Allen.
For residents of Bermuda, or if you had vacation plans for Bermuda, expect tropical storm conditions to be developing today and hurricane conditions for tonight and right on into Saturday.
New rules go into effect tomorrow that'll shake up the real estate market by allowing negotiations over the broker's cut. CBS's Jolene Kent.
Home buyers, sellers, and real estate agents will all feel the impacts. There's going to be a big shift in agent commissions.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
540 AM WAUK News is brought to you by the new Hop and Shop at 1505 East Racine Avenue inside the Phillips 66 in Waukesha.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A record number of people are working in Wisconsin, a little more than 3 million of us. The Department of Workforce Development says the statewide jobless rate for July was 3%, a little higher than 2.9 in June, but still lower than the national rate of 4.3%. 1,300 more people got jobs in Wisconsin last month. Republican vice presidential nominee J.D. Vance campaigns in Milwaukee today. Stuart J. Waddles reports.
Vance speaks at the Milwaukee Police Association headquarters. It's his second visit to Wisconsin since accepting the Republican VP nomination at the Fiserv Forum last month. He spoke to a small group at a factory in Eau Claire last week. Meanwhile, Vice President Harris and Democratic running mate Tim Walz plan to be in Milwaukee Tuesday. Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media News.
I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Organizers of the Waukesha Democratic Party's monthly meeting say they drew an unprecedented crowd last night. The meeting at the Southminster Presbyterian Church is reported to have started late after parking issues for the increase to number of attendees. A party spokesperson says on social media there were about 180 people at the meeting. Unofficial election results from Waukesha County this week reveal that 39% of voters selected Democratic candidates. Republicans made up 61% of the electorate. The recall effort against three Milwaukee Public School Board members has failed. The city's election commission announced that organizers fell short to trigger a recall election for the board president, vice president, and a board member. A count for a fourth board member is still ongoing. Election managers report that the recall campaign was several thousand signatures short of its goal. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
The Brewers' Christian Yelich out for the year. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Christian Yelich undergoing season-ending back surgery today in Milwaukee.
It just got to the point where it wasn't getting better. Tried everything I could. Ran out of options, and it came time to make a decision. This was the best option, you know, that we really had left.
The 32-year-old Yelich making the announcement last night on social media. Meanwhile, the Brewers able to put together an eighth-inning rally to beat the Dodgers 6-4 to split the four-game series 2 games apiece. Reese Hoskins on outfielder Garrett Mitchell.
Garrett had a really, really good at-bat to give us first and second, and then really put the pressure on with the tying run at second base. You feed off each other when you're doing that, and I think we are able to put it all together there in the eighth inning.
NFL, the Packers joint practice sessions underway today in Denver. A chance for quarterback Jordan Love to work with his long list of receivers against the Broncos defense.
We have a real deep, you know, receiver group, which, like I said before, is a good problem to have.
That's Jordan Love with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Partly cloudy today with a chance of isolated thunderstorms this afternoon into this evening. Our high today, 82. Tonight, 67. Tomorrow, partly cloudy. Scattered thunderstorms, 78 on Sunday. Partly cloudy with a high of 77. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
5:40 a.m. WAUK invites you to spend another lunch hour at the airport. Now you won't fly away, but you'll enjoy food trucks on Food Truck Friday at Kreitz Field. This Friday, Troublemakers Cochina will be there along with Taqueria Miyagi. Come on down, enjoy lunch, hang around with the airplanes, support the veterans groups that are down there. The 99s will be there too, and this week's sponsor is Spring City Aviation. We'll see you this Friday, 11 to 1:30 at Waukesha County Airport.
In a hurry, pop in at Hop and Shop at 1505 East Racine Avenue inside the Phillips 66 gas station in Waukesha, where you'll find gas, coffee, soda, snacks, and even alcohol, and serving food from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. Enjoy a breakfast burrito or biscuit sandwich. How about a delicious Hunt Brothers pizza or juicy Cooper's Express fried chicken, chicken sandwich with pepper gravy, wings, tenders, fish, or shrimp with all your favorite sides? Stop in or order ahead at 262-933-4747. Hop and Shop in Waukesha.
Pat Kreitlow. Monday morning, we're in Milwaukee getting set to board the train as we preview this week's Democratic National Convention in Chicago.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning starting at 6. You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Stop right off.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Hey, good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, Earl. Rainy start to the weekend, but...
You kind of forgot your name, Earl.
I just stuttered a little.
Well, there's trouble when the guy that young.
Yeah.
Is starting to have
whatever.
All right. So if you don't know by now, that's my co-host Sandy Williams, who appears with me every Tuesday and every Friday. Good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing, my
friend? And I have your name written on the palm of my hand here, so I can just flex my hand open and say, "Oh yeah, hi Earl." All right.
We got a lot lined up as usual this morning, but we're joined by a good friend, Mayor Brian Kennedy of Glendale. Good morning to you, Mayor Brian Kennedy. How are you doing, sir?
I am doing well, Earl. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. You know, we go back a long time, man. You've been a mayor for four terms?
Way too long.
What is it, four terms?
This is my fourth term. This is my last. I'm a believer in self-imposed term limits. So I did three on the school board. I'm doing four as mayor. And I don't know what I'm doing next, but it's not going to be. It's time for somebody else. So I've got a couple more years left.
I have to say you've done some great things in Glendale.
Thank you.
Glendale's a great town and city. And, beautiful city.
Prospering, too. You've done a great deal with the balance between residential and industrial, commercial. It's a pretty amazing place, actually.
Yeah. Your mark is all over it. So congratulations on the good work that you've done. Let's talk about, but you're here not on behalf of Glendale, but you're here representing, is it safe to say, the Kamala Harris?
Well, I think he's right. I think he's a part of the Democratic Convention, right? Aren't you?
I'm on the DNC Rules Committee.
Okay.
So we've actually already met. We've done all of our work, so I get to go to convention next week and just enjoy it. Our work is now done.
Well, I'm going to catch you there, and we'll interview you while you're there.
Okay.
All right. So let's talk about why you're on this morning.
So there's been a lot of questions out there by folks of, how do we get to a nominee that never ran for president? And why do we hold an election for the convention delegates to choose a nominee before we ever got to Chicago? And so, I thought it'd be an opportunity to explain how the DNC Rules Committee created these rules and, how we have Kamala Harris as a nominee.
Well, do that, because we've had a lot of people call and complain about that.
Well, we've had, and particularly people on the other side of the aisle who want to try and denominate what's happened as a coup. I'm not sure exactly how that could possibly be the proper definition for how the party selected its candidate. But It would be helpful, I think, if you described, you know, sort of the legal, the design of the selection process.
Sure. So the way in which we nominate candidate our candidate for president is at convention, we have delegates who are elected from their state parties all around the country. And those delegates convene at convention and they elect a nominee. In this particular case, we also hold primaries. And the primaries basically just tell you the will of the people in those states. But there is nothing binding that says that, you know, because Joe Biden won Wisconsin, that all of our delegates have to cast their vote for Joe Biden. There's nothing binding on it, right? Our delegates can vote however they want. But the tradition is typically that, you know, whoever won the state, they get the bulk of the delegates. Back in 2020, with the convention going virtual, we had to set up a process to nominate and vote on our candidate virtually, essentially. So we had to set up a secure website. Our delegates met in a Zoom meeting, and then they went. They had like 48 hours to vote on the website with their secure logins. And this year, we decided to take that same process and do it again ahead of convention, and it has to do with Ohio. Ohio requires that the parties submit their nominee 90 days before the election. Well, the Democratic convention is less than 90 days before election day. And so it meant that the Democratic Party would be submitting its nominee to Ohio with less than 90 days notice. Now, the tradition for decades has always been the party gets in some preliminary paperwork by the deadline, and then they hold their convention and submit the nominee's name, and then ballots get printed, and there's never been a problem. But we are at a point now with this litigious Republican Party, hundreds of lawsuits across the country, that we were afraid if we did not hold the election, the delegate election for our nominee ahead of August 7th, which is 90 days before Election Day, and get that into Ohio, that there would be lawsuits. And we could just picture conservative judges in Ohio saying, yeah, 90 days is 90 days. We don't care what they've done in the past. And so that is why we already have a nominee. And that nominee is Kamala Harris. And she was selected over a week ago and or 2 weeks ago now. And we met the August 7th deadline to file the paperwork with the state of Ohio.
And the process of, you know, what, this was unusual, obviously, this year. There was a candidate who ran who was the incumbent. Frequently, incumbents, when they run for re-election, don't face primary opposition within their party. He faced little or no primary opposition. I take it that was the norm as far as your experience has been concerned. But then you end
yeah,
up,
certainly.
Yeah. So then you end up with a candidate who got the votes. It was not, it wasn't by default. It's just that incumbents usually run unopposed, and that's more right. or less the way he ran. And when he decided to back out of the campaign and not to stand for re-election, the Democratic Party needed to have a process for selecting a candidate. And that's what happened, right?
Right. It's exactly what happened. And, you know, I've heard Republicans say this is a coup. Nobody voted for Kamala Harris. Keep in mind that 4 years ago at convention, we nominated Kamala Harris to be our vice president. For the last 4 years, she has served as vice president. During the entire primary season this year, the assumption always was it was a Biden-Harris ticket. We were voting for Joe Biden, knowing that Kamala Harris was his running mate. So all of us voted, 14 million people that voted for Joe Biden in the primaries, knew that Kamala Harris was a part of that ticket. So it isn't as if we, you know, cast a ballot for Joe Biden, not knowing who the running mate was, or not knowing that the Kamala Harris, I mean, we know Joe Biden's age, right? You know, there's a high likelihood that whoever is the vice presidential running mate for either one of the, you know, whether Joe Biden or Donald Trump, their vice president might very well end up serving as president in the next 4 years. And so there was no surprise there. So when Joe Biden stepped out, all the delegates who were supporting him would naturally support his vice president. And I've heard these this talk by Republicans about this being a coup and why didn't we do an open convention, which would have been more democratic. I would argue that an open convention would have actually been less democratic because you would have had Gavin Newsom and Josh Shapiro and Gretchen Whitmer, plus a bunch of senators all running for president who never formed an exploratory committee, who were never vetted by voters, were never on a primary ballot. Kamala Harris, while she wasn't on the primary ballot, by default she was. Was the Biden-Harris ticket we voted for. And so I think this was the best path forward. And the delegates, over, she got 99%, over 99% of the voting delegates voted for Kamala Harris.
You know, so,
well, yeah. And also all those people who you identified who might have run for president all fell in line very quickly endorsing her because they had the same objective that the Democratic Party has, which is to try and win this next election, I presume, right?
Yeah, we want to win the next election, and you want to go with the candidate who's in the strongest position. She's the running mate. Her name was on all of the political action committee paperwork with Joe Biden. I mean, so she was as much an owner of that campaign as Joe Biden, and so it just absolutely made sense that we would go with Kamala.
You know, Mayor Kennedy, it lays open the fallacy that Republicans have been saying that 14 million people's votes were taken away. And they've been able to run around and tout those things, even on these airways. And you just, in your explanation, and I guess the way it's being explained all over the nation, laid all that to rest.
Yeah, when I voted for Joe Biden in the primaries, I was voting for Kamala Harris to be his vice presidential running mate. I was fully expecting that the delegates to this convention were going to nominate Joe Biden, and they were going to nominate Kamala Harris. In this case, Joe Biden stepped aside. We nominated Kamala Harris. It was plain and simple. I mean, there was nothing to me that was out of the ordinary or strange. If we had been nominating somebody who'd never run for president, that would be a problem.
I think it's a little bit like the Dodgers complaining that the Braves starting pitcher who injured his shoulder yesterday isn't starting today. You know, it's not fair. You know, we were gonna get a lot of hits today. Except for the fact that they got this other person up there. You know, I think really that's the problem. I think that the Republicans are just very sorry that the Democrats have had this change because it's entirely changed the complexion of the election and the arguments that they were going to pose are not very germane in the remaining period.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I will say I watched that debate between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. And Donald Trump, the barrage of lie after lie and screaming at him and just the way in which that debate, if I were Joe Biden up there, I would have frozen. Like, I mean, Joe Biden, I think he's been a fantastic president. He has accomplished more in one term than many presidents accomplished in two. But I also like watched that debate and listening to like Donald Trump, just the barrage of things like how much incoming fire can you take? No, the thing is, I do think that when we have an opportunity to see a debate between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump, oh, it's going to be something to behold.
Yeah,
she's a prosecutor, and she's right back at him.
I mean, Donald Trump keeps talking about how could anybody else do what I do, get up here on the stage and talk for 2 hours? Could anyone else give these endless interviews? Well, anybody could if they didn't tether themselves to the truth, and if they were... If what they operated on was solely an imagination, I think that's the real truth, and I think that truth is becoming more apparent as we now watch the current environment.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I'm looking forward to these debates, and I have to just say that the selection of Tim Walz, what a wonderful ticket.
Yeah.
I mean, look. Listening to the two of them speak and the joy and the happiness they're bringing and just talking about the future. And I got to say, the best thing of all is listening to them call the Republicans weird because their policies are so weird.
So, Mayor Kennedy, thank you very much. I'll be reaching out to you as we continue, you know, to move forward. Thank you very much for the time.
Yeah, great talking.
Thank you.
All right. Nice talking to you. That's Mayor Brian Kennedy. Of Glendale. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Friday. That means Friday is my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Up North News Radio.
This fall, Wisconsin voters will cast critical votes for U.S. Senate, determining the direction of our state and nation on important issues. The ACLU does not endorse or oppose candidates, but wants voters to make an informed decision in the U.S. Senate election. Abortion is at stake in this election. On abortion rights, what have Senate candidates Tammy Baldwin and Eric Hovde said? Here's Eric Hovde.
I am a strong believer in pro-life. I am totally opposed to abortion.
And this interview.
Do you think Roe versus Wade should be overturned?
Yes.
Here's Tammy Baldwin.
I want women to decide.
And
I am pro-choice.
And
I lead the effort to restore Roe versus Wade to our national laws.
In their own words, Tammy Baldwin supports abortion rights while Eric Hubde opposes abortion rights.
ACLU Voter Education Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Paid for by ACLU Voter Education Fund, 212-549-2500, not authorized by a candidate or candidate's committee.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Crazy, I'm crazy for feeling so lonely.
Is that Patsy Cline?
Patsy Cline.
Yeah.
Just right before she hit the mountain, literally.
Oh, you know.
This is campaign music. All the music is campaigns music. This is the campaign music chosen by none other than Ross Perot.
Well,
who actually is an independent candidate who got he got 18% of the vote, I believe.
Do you know? Anyway, 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. And as always, you know, got a lot to talk about this morning. Before we get into all those things, we had a guy call the other day, and he was talking about Kennedy. What is his first name?
Robert F. Kennedy.
Robert F. Kennedy. And he was talking about how
Junior.
Yeah,
you can call me RJJ. You can call me Robert J. Johnson.
But he doesn't call me
Junior. Right?
Yeah, I remember that guy. But you know, he was the guy who called the other day to talk about him was talking about how much he's a Democrat, this guy who called, and that he was leaning towards Robert F. Kennedy for a lot of different reasons. It turns out that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is for sale.
That's good for sale, exactly. Apparently he's gone to both sides and said, you know, I'll throw my lot in with you if you make me, that's the
cabinet
ticket.
Member.
Yeah, cabinet member.
Does that, I mean, you know, clearly I never thought Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was ever serious about running.
Well, I don't know. I thought he probably was, but he didn't have a serious chance the way it was setting up. And now he's not on the ballot in a number of key states, so it's clearly not a possibility. And all he is a spoiler. So I suppose the spoiler has decided that he's got market value.
Well, he thinks he has market value.
Yeah.
And so, isn't it kind of early to go and try to market yourself and sell yourself?
Well, I think what's interesting is that a couple of weeks ago, he apparently made the approach to Trump, and then he saw the tea leaves in the last couple of weeks and decided, maybe this is more likely to actually manifest into an actual job if I go with the winner.
I guess I would say to people who support him, if there's a guy that I've been supporting, and he's had people who have been along with him for the ride, and this close to things, he's already trying to sell himself, I would be a little bit disappointed.
Well, I think he had a failure of judgment in that he went to two of his opponents and thought that they would keep his secret, I guess, but apparently neither side did, because I think both sides have operatives who have confirmed that this conversation has occurred.
Well, do you think it had to do with the fact that they exposed the dead bear carcass?
I don't know. I doubt it. I think that there were enough carcasses in the closet
before that one.
Yeah, I don't think that was the decider. I think he probably just has maybe tired. Maybe the funders have said, hey, we're not going to stay at this, you know, you're jousting with windmills here, Don Quixote.
Jousting with windmills.
Yeah.
Like that. But by the way, Sandy, I never thought that Robert F. Kennedy, And maybe he had some wind behind his sails several months back.
Well, I do think, like the caller said, I think he is he's got an engaging story to tell. Much of what he says has some resonance, and much of it has resonance with those who are willing to listen to kind of the conspirational theorists. He embraces the conspiracy theories. He embraces them about his uncle's assassination, his father's. All of that is very intriguing, and I think he is I think he was has sort of a seductive personality, and I think that's in fact what other people have said about him as well.
You know, to be honest with you,
yeah,
I just could not get past the voice.
Well, that's
I tried listening to him. And that's kind of
that's
kind of insane.
That's very honest of you, Earl. Probably pretty. No, I mean, I think that aside, because that's really an unfortunate physical problem that he's got, and I can almost do it myself. But it's a really tough thing he's got, and I'm more credit to him. He's able to work through it, but. I'm more about the substance of the guy, and I think that the substance is a little bit thin, because I think he operates more I think he's a much more intellectual version of the Donald Trump approach to facts.
So do you think that he saw clearly that a spot for him when Joe Biden was still there, and there were people who had their issues with Biden as well as people who had their issues with Trump, yeah. And now he sees this whole groundswell, and he just doesn't see his way through that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that lots of people, us included, I remember talking about the fact that I thought that we had two candidates running, chosen by their parties, and the Republicans had chosen about the only person that Joe Biden could defeat based on his situation. And I thought the Democrats had nominated or potentially were going to nominate the only person that Donald Trump could defeat. And I think anybody sitting on the sidelines might think, wow, this is the time when a third party candidate could actually make a big dent, much the way Ross Perot almost did a number of years ago.
You know, it clearly, do you think it signals the end, or do you think he's going to play it all the way through?
No, I think it signals the end. I think his funders, I mean, you need to have money ultimately to be in the anchor lap of this relay, and it gets much more expensive. I mean, every month as you approach November, the price goes up, and he's not going to be in the debate. He's just not going to be on the scene.
And the fact that this information has gotten out certainly doesn't mean that funders are going to look at him and say, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, let's keep funding this guy, because he's basically acquiesced, right, when he said these things.
I think so. I mean, you know, clearly he saw the writing on the wall and decided he wanted to convert it to a situation where he could have influence. I think his chops with respect to the environment are probably pretty good. He did go through a period in his life. I was an environmental lawyer in the 70s and sort of understand the issues there. And I think he actually, during a period when he had that environmental law firm, was championing and accomplishing a fair amount. He was very involved with the Hudson River cleanup, for instance. That was a very big positive.
You know, Sandy, when we come back on the other side, we're gonna talk about several things, but the White House says prescription drug deals will produce billions in savings for taxpayers and seniors. That is a big deal.
It is a big deal, and it's been crazy that in the past that the government decided to tie its own hands behind its back and not negotiate with Big Pharma and give Big Pharma a free ticket to price gouging prices.
And the fact that Biden and Harris have been able to push this through is a big deal. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Friday. It means Friday's my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
I'm crazy for trying and crazy for crying, and I'm crazy for loving you.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Tom Allball Show.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers is asking a federal judge not to impose any changes at Wisconsin's youth prisons. Evers tells federal judge James Peterson the conditions at Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake are slowly getting better. Republican state lawmakers are pushing Peterson to give staff more leeway to discipline inmates after a counselor was killed in June. Black business owners in Milwaukee have a digital resource to set up and grow their ventures. It's called MKE Boss. Pam Bell is a business lender. She admits financial services can be hard for new entrepreneurs to navigate.
How do I scale this? Breaking down how much it costs to, you know, create a product and how much do I need to put back into my business so that it's profitable and all of that.
August is National Black Business Month. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The drive to the DNC goes through southeast Wisconsin for a lot of state Democrats. A lot of the delegates will start to arrive in Chicago this weekend, with the convention starting Monday at the United Center. Some of the issues the city of Milwaukee dealt with are replicated in the Windy City, with issues surrounding protesters and where they can be heard. At this point, it's believed President Joe Biden will speak Monday night. Civic Media will have live coverage from the DNC next week. The real Stanley Cup, not the bottle, made a special appearance in Milwaukee this week. The Florida Panthers' general manager is Bill Zito. He's from Whitefish Bay. He says he brought the iconic trophy to the Froedtert and Medical College of Wisconsin Cancer Center to honor the hospital's pancreatic cancer treatment team. They had cared for his late mother and sister. It is tradition that every member of an NHL championship team gets to spend a day with the cup. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabo. Okay, movie fans, as the summer winds down and you're behind on your summer flicks, here are some suggestions in order of my personal enjoyment. Topping the list is Inside Out 2, which I thought was a near-perfect film. I actually liked it better than the original, and it crushed several box office records. If you hurry, you can still catch it on the big screen. Mad Max Furiosa was nonstop fun, and although not the spectacle its predecessor, Mad Max Fury Road, was, it was a heart-pounding fun ride. It is now available to stream, and although not as spectacular in your living room, still a great watch. Number three for me is A Quiet Place Day One, as I really liked how there were no huge stars, which helped me lose myself more in the story. I actually liked the pacing better and the urban setting in Day One more than either of the first two Quiet Place films. Other films that will provide lots of entertainment, Dune 2, The Bike Riders, Civil War, Twisters, and Challengers. Have fun at the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Partly cloudy today with a chance of isolated thunderstorms this afternoon into this evening. Our high today, 82. Tonight, 67. Tomorrow, partly cloudy. Scattered thunderstorms, 78 on Sunday. Partly cloudy with a high of 77. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
The Democratic National Convention is in Chicago, and our team will be there to tell you what you need to know. I'm Civic Media News Director Terry Bell.
And I'm Todd Allball, host of The Todd Allball Show. Count on us for important analysis, interviews, and the Democrats' nomination of their presidential candidate.
Live from the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Listen for updates, plus special coverage at 6 each night. Find it on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, actor Sean Astin of Rudy and Lord of the Rings fame will join us. He's stomping for Harris all Saturday across the state. He'll tell us why.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
This fall, Wisconsin voters will cast critical votes for U.S. Senate, determining the direction of our state and nation on important issues. The ACLU does not endorse or oppose candidates, but wants voters to make an informed decision in the U.S. Senate election. Abortion is at stake in this election. on abortion rights, what have Senate candidates Tammy Baldwin and Eric Hovde said? Here's Eric Hovde.
I am a strong believer in pro-life. I am totally opposed to abortion.
And this interview.
Do you think Roe versus Wade should be overturned?
Yes.
Here's Tammy Baldwin.
I want women to decide.
And
I am pro-choice.
And
I lead the effort to restore Roe versus Wade to our national laws.
In their own words, Tammy Baldwin supports abortion rights while Eric Hovde opposes abortion rights.
ACLU Voter Education Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Paid for by ACLU Voter Education Fund, 212-549-2500. Not authorized by a candidate or candidate's committee.
That's a great opening.
Yeah. It didn't do the. It didn't carry the day for Michael Dukakis.
However. Coming to America.
Yeah. Michael Dukakis is probably an answer to a trivia question that a lot of people would fail to answer. Yeah?
That this was his...
Well, no, also just that he was a candidate. You know, that I think a lot of people today would say, who, Michael Dukakis? Who was that?
Michael Dukakis. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday is my co-host Sandy Williams and you. So, Sandy, the White House says prescription drug deals will produce billions in savings for taxpayers and seniors. It's a big deal.
Well, it is a big deal. Like I said, it's amazing that the government had tied its hands behind its back in the past. It was clearly a tribute to K Street and lobbying for Big Pharma, that Big Pharma could persuade Congress and the Washington to have government not negotiate with respect to Big Pharma when Medicare is the biggest purchaser of drugs. You know, it's by far the most significant market for where Big Pharma sells its products, and to have it not be able to negotiate prices is certainly a big reason for why Americans pay 100 to 200% more for their drugs than Canada or almost any other developed country.
Look, Sandy, so taxpayers spend more than $50 billion a year on the 10 drugs, which include blood thinners and diabetes drugs. With the new prices, the administration says savings are expected to total $6 billion for taxpayers and $1.5 billion overall for some of the 67 million people who rely on Medicare. Details on those calculations, however, have not been released, and the White House said it could not provide an average cost savings. But the fact, Sandy, that they've been able, how were they able to overcome the blockage in Congress that prevented this from happening decades before?
Well, Biden, I mean, this is an accomplishment of the administration, and they have done it. This is significant. It is less than 10%, but it's a beginning, and it's a demonstration of how it is that the government will and needs to exercise its muscle with respect to the cost of medical care in this country so that it gets in line. And I'm very happy to see Biden-Harris and now Harris talking about it on the campaign trail as well, accelerating this effort to reduce medical costs overall and to reduce the medical costs that are borne by Americans in their capacity as patients, as well as reducing the costs that Americans bear in their capacity as taxpayers.
So I'd like to ask you, before we go to the phone lines, if Republicans say Vice President Harris has to own the high inflation rates that occurred when Biden was president, do they also now say that she can take credit for, you know, based on how they see things?
Well, you know, the fact is that they want to point at one issue, an inflation, which
right.
incidentally, inflation is now down below 3%. And the next meeting in September of the Federal Reserve Committee is undoubtedly going to have an interest rate reduction. But, you know, if they want to hand her and cherry pick the things that she needs to be responsible for, she's also responsible for the creation of more manufacturing jobs than that were created under Trump, the creation of more jobs generally than were created under Trump, for a stock market gain that is more than was achieved under Trump. I mean, there's an awful lot of stuff that you can't cherry pick this stuff. If you want to lay at the feet of the president, the coincidence of whatever happens during that administration, then sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander. And, you know, Donald Trump likes to pretend that his administration had the greatest economy ever. But the fact is that the current economy has exceeded that economy in almost every measuring rod. And inflation is about the only thing that can be pointed at that occurred, which, as we can say, there's a lot of factors there. When you connect all the dots, there's a lot of factors that contributed to inflation. America got inflation under control faster than any other country in the world. And we've avoided recession. We've continued to have a boom. So, you know, there's an awful lot. If the battleground is going to be economics, then apparently it gets restricted to, as Donald Trump did yesterday, the grocery store, okay? But the grocery store has another story to be told about the stickiness of prices coming down and the issues associated with, for instance, the price of eggs and avian flu. You know, there's a lot of factors here. And I think the Harris administration campaign is off to the right start to start talking about how it's going to exercise the muscle of government on an antitrust basis and otherwise to try and get big grocery, not big pharma, but big grocery, to have their prices go down as rapidly as they go up in the face of costs.
You know, Sandy, but if you look at the graphs, and Donald Trump keeps saying things were much better, as you stated, when he was the president, and all of these different things, and you compare them to Joe Biden's, there is no comparison. Biden's exceeds.
Yeah, I mean, the only issues that can be pointed at are some impacts. One of the, you know, prosperity and money in the hands of the wealthy has increased the price of housing, okay? So that now 8% of the U.S. housing stock apparently has a value north of $1 million. That isn't inflation-driven, and that isn't the result of higher mortgage rates. Both of those things would drive the price down, but that's the result of greater prosperity in the hands of the wealthy, essentially. So we have housing costs, and we have grocery costs, and the Harris administration today is talking directly about responses to both of those issues, which are issues that Tom, Dick, and Mary look at, realize, but this is not something that can be laid at the feet of the president, other than a government that decides to be passive in the face of it. Donald Trump's version of government would be entirely passive in terms of, he's already said that whatever she's talking about sounds like price controls. I don't think what she's talking about is price controls, but he's already trying to denigrate the effort of government to get involved with control, with affecting grocery prices. He'd rather complain about their height rather than deal with the solution. It's kind of like the border problem.
All right, let's go to CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Good morning, Earl and Sammy. Thank you for taking my call. You said, I've been on hold for quite a while. You said something earlier before you changed subjects. You guys certainly are attracted by symbolism instead of substance, because, and one thing I did want to say yesterday, you didn't take my call, Earl, but did you celebrate the 3 years watching the parade in Afghanistan as they drove around in the equipment that the Harris-Biden administration left behind, the $86 billion worth of equipment?
Hey, CJ, I'll tell you straight up, I don't care about them driving around. We're talking about right now, you know, the impact of what Biden and Harris have been able to accomplish, especially right now with the drug issue. We're talking about the fact that what you and others continue to falsely claim how great things were under Donald Trump, as opposed to the Biden and Harris campaign 4 years, and it turns out that it's just not true. So you know, those are the things we're talking about. I don't, you know, I'm not concerned about somebody driving around in equipment that was left during the Afghanistan war. I do know that the same thing happened during the Vietnam War. The same thing happened in Japan. Everywhere we were, we've left equipment. So go ahead.
Yes, behind another Democrat president.
Okay, so, okay, CJ.
No, wait. Now, actually, the withdrawal from Vietnam was under a Republican president. You have to dust off your history pages. But, you know, I think that, you know, we want to point at what happens during a presidency. Well, at the end of Donald Trump's presidency, there was a 14% unemployment rate because of COVID. There was also a very low gasoline price because of COVID, because people weren't moving, weren't traveling, weren't using gasoline. So if you want to take credit for the cheap gasoline, you also have to take credit for a 14% unemployment rate, because those were all things that happened, but there were explanations for them. Yes, and there are explanations for a variety of things. That withdrawal from Afghanistan was pursuant to an agreement which was negotiated by Donald Trump directly with the Taliban at Camp David.
Yeah, but they didn't keep that agreement, did they, Sandy? He wanted to get out to celebrate 9/11.
Hey, CJ. You know, I mean, I don't care. We're talking about what's happening now. Can you focus on the subject that we're talking about now?
Yeah, 13 soldiers died.
All right, thank you very much for the call. You know, it doesn't matter. So,
we've talked about this before, but if you really roll up your sleeves and evaluate the whole process of the Afghanistan, yes, it was chaotic. And so was the withdrawal from Vietnam. It ends up, when you withdraw a bunch of troops from the country at that moment, you're quite naked with respect to the capacity to defend against a localized offensive. And it was chaotic. We lost 13 troops. But we were losing troops on a monthly basis while we were in Afghanistan. And if we'd stayed in Afghanistan for another year, we most certainly would have lost many more than 13 troops. So, there's never anything to celebrate about the loss of any military. But the fact is that we're out of Afghanistan. We aren't at war in Afghanistan. We aren't spending the trillions of dollars in the Mideast on warfare that we were during the period when we were in Iraq and Afghanistan. And the number that I'm looking it up, but my recollection is that when you go to an actual truthful analysis of the value of what was left behind, it's something much more like $8 billion. So the decimal point gets moved to the right when you want to operate in hyperbole.
Well, and that equipment is obsolete. And the amount of money and time that it would cost, Sandy, when they're pulling out to try to get all that equipment out, it endangers, you know, the people and what they're attempting to do. So that's what we do. We leave equipment because of the safety issues. We're trying to get that equipment out. 844-967-2789 is the number.
This is the Shaw WAUK.
This fall, Wisconsin voters will cast critical votes for U.S. Senate, determining the direction of our state and nation on important issues. The ACLU does not endorse or oppose candidates, but wants voters to make an informed decision in the U.S. Senate election. Abortion is at stake in this election. On abortion rights, what have Senate candidates Tammy Baldwin and Eric Hovde said? Here's Eric Hovde.
I am a strong believer in pro-life. I am totally opposed to abortion.
And this interview.
Do you think Roe versus Wade should be overturned?
Yes.
Here's Tammy Baldwin.
I want women to decide.
And
I am pro-choice.
And
I lead the effort to restore Roe versus Wade to our national laws.
In their own words, Tammy Baldwin supports abortion rights while Eric Hovde opposes abortion rights.
ACLU Voter Education Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Paid for by ACLU Voter Education Fund, 212-549-2500. Not authorized by a candidate or candidate's committee.
You're listening to The Shaw at WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
You know, I'm a sucker for brass. I'm a sucker for trombones, trumpets.
I work for the Heritage Foundation.
And tubas and French horns, trumpets. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams. And you, Sandy, what's with the music?
Well, the music, this is music that's the theme song used by various presidential candidates. And Walter Mondale used to walk out under the Rocky music.
Really? Let me ask you, because Donald Trump is now being pressured for playing music that he hasn't gotten an okay to play.
Yeah.
And threatened to be sued. When these presidents play these different, they have to agreements. I guess
I think they're smart if they do that, because otherwise the music that they use as their theme ends up being the talking point against them by the studio artists that they're trying to exploit with the music. So,
well, you would think that they would know that.
Well, you'd think.
I'm just saying, that Trump would leave himself open for this, and it's a couple pennies.
Well, I think the fact that he uses YMCA is a particularly odd. I guess he likes to dance to it, but the music is an anthem. It's an odd choice for him, I think.
All right, let's go to Tom from Richland Center. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning. Listen, we could go for an hour or two about the mistakes made in Vietnam and Afghanistan, and I'd love to, but you got to remember that they gave up Bagram Air Base in Afghanistan, I don't know, 6 months or something before the end. That was a space that it took all half a day at least to drive all the way around through all the different gates and everything. It was gigantic. And they could have brought away all the people they wanted to from Afghanistan over a period of months through that base. It was the most well-defended spot in the whole country. Instead, they did it practically downtown Kabul. So that was under Mr. Trump. And he's the one who let out 5,000 people from jail that turned out were some of the people running the militias that won at the end. So for anybody on the right who says it's up to Biden, yeah, it was a terrible thing that happened at the end. But it was a complete failure, and almost to the point you could say it was planned to be that much of a failure. Thanks a lot. By the way, the best part on the radio is your voice, Earl.
Oh, well, thank you very much for the call. I really appreciate it, man. Let's go to John from Boaz. Good morning to you, John. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning. Herb Albert, if you can remember that name, he has...
We know Herb Albert at the Tijuana Brass.
Yeah. So I wanted to talk about our economy today, because I'm a German Jew coming over from the Rhineland of Germany, and they picked on us too, Earl, but Trump is a matter of what is good or what is evil. Trump is evil. Not to mention, he's getting away with corrupting the government. We're letting him do that at the highest courts of the law. What do you think?
Sandy, you want to take that?
Well, I think that Trump's conduct, open and notorious as it is unbelievably kind of flagrantly corrupt. But because he does it so openly and notoriously, we seem to give him a pass. So, for instance, you know, when he's meeting with Elon Musk and they're talking about how Musk is giving him millions and millions of dollars for his campaign, his response is, yeah, I'm going to have to rethink my policies about electric cars. I mean, like policies for sale. You know, he meets with the oil executives and tells them that they're going to give him $1 billion and he's going to give them everything they can dream of with respect to policies for drill, baby, drill. I mean, so, yeah, it seems like this swamp is only something that is in the dark. But when you do it all in the open daylight, apparently Donald Trump thinks that's something different than the swamp he talks about draining. I think he just wants to get controls on the inlets and the outlets to the swamp, and he wants to be the swamp king.
Well, you know, Sandy, we're at a point right now where I was watching Donald Trump a little bit yesterday, and Sandy, he is just coming apart at the seams. We've still got almost, you know, 3 months. How is he going to make it through?
Well, I don't know if he's coming apart at the seams any worse than he always was. I just think that people are getting tired of the play. You know, this play has been on Broadway for 10 years now, and that's a long haul for people not to get tired of it. And I think that what's really happening is that people are hearing everything he's saying for the 114th time. I think when he tried to take Lion Joe or Sleepy Joe and then say, call it Sleepy Kamala, they realize this is kind of a
shelf life,
limited shelf life and a kind of a limited amount of material that this guy has that he kind of tries to apply in all places. I think it's really more that. I think that the audience is tiring of the act. I'm not sure the act is very much different than it always was.
Well, you know, Sandy, you say it, the audience is getting tired of the act. I would say that even the Republican Party, not the MAGA people, but they're tired of it.
Well, I think even for instance, our callers, I think fewer and fewer callers are willing to defend Donald Trump personality. A couple of callers a while ago said, all you want to do is talk about Trump's bad personality. We should talk about policy.
Right.
So they're realizing we need to get back to the plane of talking about policy. And I think that's a very welcome shift because, you know, people on the right, the conservatives, the Republicans, they have a right to have their policy views. They ought to talk about them. They ought to explain them. And they ought to be put in the position of persuading the American public that those policy ideas are good for Tom, Dick, and Mary and the rest of the American public. I think the whole reason that Donald Trump has been successful politically is that for 10 years, his personality has deflected everybody from the capacity to talk about those policies.
So let me ask you, if, in fact, Joe Biden was kind of persuaded to step aside by Nancy Pelosi and others because they saw this bloodbath happening to downstream.
Yeah.
Republicans probably are seeing something similar, aren't they?
I think so. I think there's definitely developing a concern about what's going to happen up and down the ballot.
All right, 844-967-2789. Hang on, guys. We'll come to you on the other side. It's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams, and you.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, an updated version of all the best people who could be in a second Trump administration. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
540 AM WAUK invites you to spend another lunch hour at the airport. Now you won't fly away, but you'll enjoy food trucks on Food Truck Friday at Kreitz Field. This Friday, Troublemakers Cochina will be there along with Taqueria Miyagi. Come on down, enjoy lunch, hang around with the airplanes, support the veterans groups that are down there. The 99s will be there too, and this week's sponsor is Spring City Aviation. We'll see you this Friday, 11 to 1:30 at Waukesha County Airport.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.